T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a program dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Chris Evans.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate. My name is Chris Evans. Today, my guest is Tristan Johnson, a fire inspector with the Greenville City Fire Department. Good morning, Tristan. Hey,
good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for being here.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. I do like to have somebody from a fire department on every now and then just to kind of remind people the importance of fire safety, because it is such an important thing.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask you the first question that I normally ask my guests, which is, what do you do and who do you do it for? I think a lot of people will say, well, they're a fire department. We know what they do. We know they do it for everybody. But tell me, just as sort of an introductory thing, tell me what the Greenville City Fire Department does and who you do it for.
Well, we do it for the citizens of Greenville, obviously in the city limits. We're a part of the Greenville County jurisdiction. What we do is comprehensive. We do a little bit of everything. We do, as you just said, the normalcy. We put out fires when people call 911. But we do so many more things. We do public education. We respond to emergency medical calls. We do business inspections. We do the full gamut. We're a full service fire career fire department.
Okay, and I know that people are going to hear the term fire department and think, oh well, if there's a fire, you guys show up. But as you just mentioned, that's not nearly everything that you do. In fact, we were talking before the show, and I thought this was really interesting. I've noticed this for a while now, that fire departments have started responding almost the way that an ambulance would, as EMS, you know,
yes,
emergency medical staff to help people, whether there's a fire or not.
Yes, that's exactly right. What we're recognizing in the community is that our ambulance services, they belong to Greenville County, so they're all over the place. And so our citizens expect that when they call 911, they're going to get an immediate, quick response. And so the fire services, we're in the community. We're local. We're part of the community. And so when they call 911, we do respond. Here at the Greenville City Fire Department, our firefighters are trained to the EMT level, which allows them to give a greater or broader or more advanced medical care, more so than first responder. So when you call 911, we are going to show up as well as the ambulance.
Okay. And all of the firefighters are trained that way?
All of our new firefighters starting from, what are we, in 2019? So starting from 2017, have to come on as EMTs or get that certification within the year. And this fire department has started a process where they're going back to retroactively train the other firemen to come to that level as well.
You brought up training, and I think that's another interesting thing to talk about. Talk about the training that firefighters go through these days, and speak for a second to the person who's listening that maybe has just graduated high school or will at the end of the school year. I guess we're kind of in the middle of it right now, but is coming up on, you know, having to choose a career. What if they're feeling that call toward being a firefighter?
That's a really great point. And one of the things that we're pushing now are the career centers inside the high schools. And so we're going to the schools. I believe it starts at the 10th grade level where they can start going to the different career centers. And we're asking the young men and women, if you are interested, to please talk to those teachers, because you can get your certifications completely, what you need to be hired by a fire department when you graduate high school.
Okay.
There is no additional training that's required. And so now they have programs where you can get your Firefighter 1, your Firefighter 2 certification, and your EMT, so that when you come to a fire department and say, I'd like to get hired, you have everything that you need. And
wow,
that's a free the school district provides that for free.
Straight out of high school.
Straight out of high school.
You can get hired by your fire department.
Yes.
That is fantastic.
It's amazing.
When do you have to start that in high school?
So I do believe that you can start inquiring around the 9th grade, but I don't believe they allow those students to start attending the career centers until the 10th grade. So you're talking about a 2-year commitment.
Okay. So the training, I imagine, would be the same for those younger high school students as it would be for somebody who's already left high school and now has decided to become a firefighter. Walk us through the training process.
That's exactly right. And so you have your Firefighter 1 or your beginning stage. This is where you start learning your fundamentals, a lot of written work. how things are done, the foundation processes, you would say. Then you start to do a little practical evolutions. Your firefighter two is when you begin to do a lot of more hands-on, more advanced evolutions, life-saving techniques, firefighter techniques, going into homes, knowing how to navigate through the smoke, save lives, use ropes. The list is endless. I don't think we have that type of time.
Fair enough.
But so it's an advancement. And then, of course, the medical component being the EMTs.
Right.
They teach them that as well.
Okay. Now an ambulance, if an ambulance shows up, they have the ability to transport somebody to a hospital or medical facility. Do you guys have a vehicle that can do that too?
So no, we don't transport. Okay. We're a supportive staff to Greenville County EMS.
Gotcha.
And also the difference between Greenville County EMS and the fire department at this time is the advanced medical service that they offer.
Okay.
Their ambulances have paramedics on the ambulances that are able to administer more drugs and do a little bit more life-saving techniques.
So kind of a step above that EMT level.
That's exactly right.
Okay, gotcha. Let's talk about fire safety, because I imagine firefighter is kind of a glamorous job to somebody who doesn't have it. You know, you get to drive the big truck and you know, wear the outfit, and especially for kids.
Run the red lights.
Yeah, run the red lights and, you know, things like that. But there, I mean, you guys for somebody who has a fire, you know, getting out is an important safety step and making sure that you and your family are okay. You guys run into the fire.
Yes.
I mean, like
literally.
Yeah. So that's got to be kind of the not so glamorous side of the job.
Yeah, there's a twofold emotion. We run into the burning homes, we run into the houses or the businesses, because our number one initiative is life safety.
Yeah.
And that's how we're trained. That's how we're taught. We talked about the high school kids. So imagine at that age, all the way up to a grown adult, you know, we're going in. But it's more than that. We're becoming more educated. We're becoming smarter. We're learning construction engineering, chemical compositry, and so forth. And so we're not just blindly running into the building. We're making educated decisions. Can we go in safely? How much longer is the structure really going to stand? And to be realistic, is the person that we're going inside to save, is the conditions even attainable? Is that person even alive?
Right.
And so are we going to risk the lives of firemen to go and do a recovery, or should we just wait? And so a lot of thought process goes in before you see a fireman put his gear on and run into a burning structure.
You mentioned the composites and materials that things are made of. I know that in construction today, there's a lot of fire retardant things.
Yes.
But stuff that is in your house can still catch on fire. And it seems like even though it's fire retardant, when it does catch on fire, it's even worse.
Yeah. What you're recognizing now is there's a lot more synthetics that are inside people's homes, plastics and veneers and so forth. And at times they may seem like they don't burn much, and some of them don't. As you'd say, they're made that way. They may smolder, but it's really the smoldering that's what's killing people. When you go to a structure fire or a house fire, that person didn't die from, you know, fire, from the fire actually burning them. It's the smoke inhalation.
Right.
These synthetics are producing some serious gases, hydrogen cyanide. And you can imagine that's going to kill you instantly. You have carbon monoxide in the house and dioxide in the house. And so that's really where our major concerns are.
Well, and I remember learning a while ago, as you mentioned, that it's the smoke inhalation that tends to kill people who die in fires.
Yes.
The oxygen deprivation.
Yes.
They're breathing in that smoke and not getting enough air.
That's exactly
to
right.
Continue living. But as you mentioned, these the things that are burning are giving off toxic chemicals that can be a problem too.
Yes.
Let's talk about fire prevention, because I imagine that's foremost in your mind. I mean, obviously when a fire starts, you want to fight it and put it out.
Of course.
But you'd rather it not start in the first place.
Yeah. What the fire departments are recognizing, what we're recognizing as a service, is firefighting is reactory. You know, we're trying to mitigate an emergency. Really, for our citizens, the best thing is preventing the fire in the first place. And that comes with education. And not just education for the firefighters, but also education for the citizens. And so I know sometimes we talk about fire safety and people turn the channel or like, I've heard this all my life.
Right.
But the reminders are what saves lives. Reminding people, hey, smoke alarms in your home.
Yeah.
Making sure that they're actually functioning saves lives.
Check the batteries.
Check the batteries twice a year, please. If you have fuel-burning appliances in your home, a fireplace, gas or wood-burning, have carbon monoxide detectors in there. If you're one of those folks that likes to open their garage door and leave your car running so you can warm up in the morning, carbon monoxide detectors are a must. Those gases act just like air, and they'll seep through door frames, door cracks, and eventually if they build up, they can cause flu-like symptoms and eventually cause death.
Yeah. And I happen to know, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think I know, that carbon monoxide is the kind of thing that when you breathe it, it actually stays in your system. You can't – it's not enough to just go out and get fresh air.
Right.
It's actually still in your body, and you need to have treatment, or you could, you know, like you said, potentially get sick and or die.
Yeah, that gas actually adheres to your into your bloodstream. And so, yes, you're right. Just taking in a fresh breath of air doesn't get it out of your system. It takes time. If you bring up or inhale a certain amount past a safe level, it can cause death. And the worst thing about carbon monoxide that we try to get people to understand is they'll call 911 and they go, well, I don't smell anything or I don't see anything. It's tasteless. It's odorless. It's colorless. You cannot detect it, which is why they've designated it the silent killer.
Yep. Yep. I've actually known people who have died from carbon monoxide inhalation, and that's why it's so important to have that carbon monoxide detector, because you as a person are not going to be able to detect
it
until it's too late.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So let's walk through somebody's house and point out the things that are fire risks.
Okay.
Let's start in the kitchen.
So you think about the kitchen, you have the inherent risks. Mm-hmm. The everybody says, oh, the stove.
Right.
You know, the stove is where I'm going to have
the obvious one.
The obvious one. But let's talk about the other risks. Folks that have carpet or, rugs in their kitchen, which is a trip hazard or slip hazard. The fire extinguisher underneath the cabinet, which is right beside the stove. If that stove catches on fire, you cannot get to the extinguisher.
That's a good point.
Not having a plan of getting out of the kitchen. Another thing that we're starting to see is people are taking out, especially in older homes, their smoke alarms out of the kitchen because they're constantly burning food.
Right.
Maybe we need to become better cooks. But so they remove it and because it's a nuisance. And so the closest alarm that they would have to say, hey, there's something wrong, is it's now further away. So that would be the kitchen. And then, of course, then you're talking about the stove, making sure that your sleeves are rolled up if you're cooking. We've had a couple fatalities. People have started cooking and fallen asleep because they're cooking because they're tired.
Sure.
Or even some cases, their insulin, their blood sugar is low. And so please be cognizant of how you're feeling.
That's good. Okay. You mentioned fire extinguishers, and I wanted to spend a minute on that. Because we were talking before the show, and you mentioned sort of a false sense of security that a fire extinguisher provides. I remember talking to another firefighter a while ago and learning that even if you can put out a fire with a fire extinguisher, you still need to call 911 and get the fire department out.
That's exactly right. Our message now in the home, as in the business, is please get out. Just get out. Call 911. Get to your meeting place. Make sure that you're safe. Allow the firemen, as we said earlier, to run in and put the fire out. Depending on who you ask, a fire would double in size, anywhere from 1 minute to 3 minutes. And so certain homes are large. And then the smoke's building up and so forth. And so what that fire extinguisher does is give the homeowner a false sense of security. Hey, I want to save my home. I want to preserve my way of life. I'm going to put this fire out. And a lot of times they become overcome with smoke, with the heat. And unfortunately, we find them right where they picked up the extinguisher. So we're asking folks, please, just get out of the house. Don't risk it. Let us come do our job.
The other thing that you mentioned is how quickly a fire spreads.
Yes.
And that I have actually witnessed that. I saw a vehicle fire one time, and I was absolutely astonished how quickly that fire tore through that vehicle.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And so estimating how long you have to deal with a problem, you know, you're not going to be correct about that.
No, not at all. And then studies have shown that when somebody's in a heightened sense, their adrenaline's pumping and so forth, time almost seems to slow down. And so now you think you have more time than you really do. And unfortunately, you've been calculating wrong. And so it can cost you your life. And so part of our educational component, Chris, is to let people know that, you know, they said, oh, I've heard it all the time. Change my smoke alarms twice a year. Oh, my fire extinguisher. But it's really comprehensive. It's like when you go to a doctor and your back hurts, you know, and that's all he treats, but there's still a pain. Well, you want a doctor that's going to look at you comprehensively and see what else is causing the pain and what's radiating and so forth. It's the same thing with fire safety. We're asking people to do a little things, a little by little, but they add up to a big life-saving measure. And so making sure your smoke alarms work, checking the batteries. There's a campaign that I'm sure you've heard of it called Close Before You Doze. And so we're asking folks that when they go to bed at night, shut your room door. You can go online and look at these studies to show that on one side of the door, the temperature could be 1,200 degrees. On a regular hollow core wooden door, if it's shut, on your side, it's 90 to 100 degrees.
Wow.
One's attainable, one's fatal.
Yes.
Making sure you have two ways out of your home, recognizing that your front door may not be it. You may have to go through your window.
Yeah.
Making sure you have a meeting place and that everybody in your home is aware of that. Having your medication near your nightstand if you have to take it, anything that you may need so that you don't go back into the house. Putting all those components together is what saves lives. It's not just one, which is why we're always reiterating our message. Yep. Please remember everything together.
So just general preparation really.
General preparation is huge.
Yeah. Tristan, let's continue walking through the house. Let's go to the bedroom.
Okay.
You mentioned closing the door to your bedroom. What are the fire hazards inside a bedroom?
So making sure that you have two ways out. Some folks, especially if their homes are older, have their windows painted shut. And so they can't even open the windows.
That happened to me one time.
Yeah.
I refused to sleep in that room until we could get the windows open.
That's exactly right. So making sure that your windows can open. If you're one of those folks that says, well, I have that for a security measure, I want it that way, then making sure you have something close to the window that's going to allow you to break the window if you're going to have to get out. Candles. We say in the bedrooms because most people like to sleep near their candles because it gives a nice ambiance,
right.
A nice smell. It's soothing. Use essential oils. Use electric candles. We're asking you not to use regular flame wax candles.
Sure. And certainly don't go to sleep with them.
Please do not go to sleep with anything burning. If you're going to use them, and a lot of people still like to use them, please don't leave the room with them lit. Please don't go to sleep with them lit. Put those out first. But in your bedroom, that would be your biggest thing, making sure you have a smoke alarm inside your bedroom.
Okay.
And making sure you have a way out of your bedroom. And then there's nothing inside your bedroom that can cause a fire.
Gotcha. You mentioned sleeping and things burning. I remember a while ago hearing a campaign about falling asleep while smoking.
Yes.
And I know that smoking is kind of on the decline now,
sure.
But people still do it. And that's another thing. Even though it's not a flame,
right.
A cigarette is hot enough to start a fire.
Yes, it is. That falls inside your mattress or falls on your sheet. It may not initially ignite the fire, but it smolders. And over time, all fire needs is air and something to burn, and it's going to grow.
Yep. Let's walk through, continue walking through any other areas of the house, the family room, the laundry room. I know dryers can cause fires.
Yeah, even with electrical dryers, the lint buildup inside the dryer, eventually with the heat that the dryer gives off, that lint can catch on fire. The unfortunate thing about dryer or lint fires is that that's already inside the walls.
Yeah.
And so it's getting air from outside because it vents outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a natural kindling type atmosphere already set up. So we ask folks to make sure at least once a year they clean their dryer vents out. If they're unfamiliar how to do it, to call a company and have them do it for you.
Well, I was going to say it's easy enough to take the little lint trap out of the dryer itself and clean that.
That's huge.
But the duct that actually evacuates that air to the outside
–
that also needs to be cleaned.
Yes,
is that
it does.
Something you can do yourself? Or?
So some folks can do that themselves. There's a ton of videos on YouTube how to do it. It also depends on where your dryer vents outside in relationship to where it starts. Some runs are really small. Some runs are really long. So it just really depends on the homeowner's ability to do it themselves. But walking through the home, then you start looking for the little things.
Sure.
Extension cords. Making sure that if you're using them, that you're not using them on a permanent basis.
Yeah.
And that they're plugged directly into the outlet.
How many movies have we seen, especially Christmas movies, where they've got 10 different things plugged into one extension cord?
Yeah, Hollywood likes to exaggerate things, but that's one of the things that actually holds true.
Okay.
Plugging one extension cord into another or overloading the extension cord.
Yeah.
Those are fire hazards. Folks are coming over. People don't want them to see their extension cords, and so they put rugs over them.
Mm.
Huge fire hazard.
Yeah.
Huge. Because the extension cord puts off heat. You cover it with a rug. It has nowhere to go. It's eventually going to catch that rug on fire. So it's just, again, it's just the little things that we ask folks to be careful of. These little things are what can cause fires.
What about outside the home, fires that start outside the home?
Yeah. And so depending on how your landscaping is with your home, a lot of folks will rake their leaves or have their brush.
Yeah.
And they'll put it in garbage bags beside the house. And sometimes they forget to take it out to the curb. It may sit there for a while. Those things dry out. And all it needs is the right magnification from the sun, and that can ignite a fire, which is why one of the things the city has is when it comes to disposing of your Christmas tree, to please get those out to the curb, away from your home, because those things dry out.
Oh, yeah.
Making sure that if you're one of those folks that has Duke Energy lines that are coming into your service that's exposed at the top and not buried in the ground, yeah. just manually check the line every now and then. Make sure it's still secure. There's no frays.
I know Duke Energy is particularly diligent about checking their lines in terms of the lines that are running between poles.
Yes.
Making sure that they don't have trees, you know, that can fall on them and stuff like that. That kind of maintenance. But the one that comes off of the extension into your house.
Yes.
That's not necessarily their purview, so you need to be paying attention to that.
And if you have questions about it, you can call them, and they will come and do a service call. I don't know their time frame or how to set that up, but they will do a service call. But we've had a couple, I would say, the last quarter of last year, we had about 3 structure fires because of that.
Yeah.
Just because of the wind, because of animals, chipmunks and so forth that are chewing on the lines. So we ask homeowners to be cognizant of what's happening with their line. Just look up. Just make sure that it's safe.
You mentioned raked up leaves. I know some people have a tendency to burn leaves. It's not uncommon to be driving around and smell a pile of burning leaves.
Yeah. So unfortunately, in the city limits of Greenville, it's illegal to do that.
Okay.
And so
good to know.
Yeah, we don't allow folks to do that. I don't know what the rules are for the county. You're burning your—
Well, and our broadcast range is bigger than just Greenville County. So, I mean, all over the upstate, you need to check with your
local
municipality and jurisdiction to find out what the rules on that are.
Yes.
Sometimes they have no-burn days. I know if it's particularly
That's
windy.
That's exactly right.
Then you're not supposed to burn things. And some of them, like Greenville, you mentioned, just outlaw it completely.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So, and that's a fair point, too, that you are from the Greenville Fire Department.
Yes.
So you're not going to be responding to a fire in Spartanburg.
No.
Most likely.
Hopefully not.
It'd have to
be
super
a really bad.
Bad
fire. Yeah, they'd be calling for a lot of help.
But there are fire jurisdictions all over the upstate that that people fall into that they can get the service they need.
They can. And to be fair, what's happening as well as a fire service, we're recognizing we know our citizens are seeing it, or our customers are seeing it as well. They may call 911 and they may see a Greenville City fire truck go by or a Wade Hampton fire truck go by. And their old response used to be, well, that's not our jurisdiction. You're going to have to wait on another truck to get there. That no longer is the case. Greenville County, Greenville City, we've updated our CAD system.
Okay.
What that CAD system is going to do now, and I can only speak for Greenville City and the few surrounding departments, Wade Hampton, Parker.
Right.
If you call 911, that CAD system is now going to locate the closest truck to you and send that truck to you to start emergency care.
Regardless of which station,
which jurisdiction you're in. The jurisdiction whose responsible care that is going to be on its way. But if that apparatus is closer to you, they're going to stop so they can start mitigating the circumstance while the primary response jurisdiction is on its way.
I know there were a couple things that you wanted to make sure we mentioned. Number one, a grant from FEMA that you guys have received.
Yeah. And so we recognize that smoke alarms, what that does is it gives you early notification. There's something wrong. Please get out of your home. You'd be surprised how many homes inside the city limits of Greenville do not have working smoke alarms.
Well, it's interesting because I've talked about this before. New construction requires smoke alarms be built into the house when the thing is built.
That's exactly
right. But we have so many older homes around here before those regulations went into effect.
Right.
They might not have them.
They may not have them. Folks aren't checking them and so forth. And so what we've done is we've reached out to FEMA, told them of our need. And so they gave us a $25,000 grant, which we in turn went out and purchased couple thousand smoke alarms so that any of our citizens inside the city limits can go to our website, greenvillesc.gov, go to the fire department's link, click on request a smoke alarm. They'll fill in the information, let us know their address, and we're going to come out and install as many as you need free of charge. And then while we're there, we'll also do a safety educational component check of your home.
Gotcha. Again, that website, greenvillesc.gov.
Yes, sir.
And there's a link for the fire department.
Yes, that's exactly
right. Gotcha. You also wanted to talk about Project Lifesaver. What is that?
Yeah, so we're really excited about Project Lifesaver. We've been working on it for about a year and a half now. St. Francis Hospital System blessed us with a sizable grant that allowed us to go out and join the Project Lifesaver Initiative. What this is for young adults, it's for older adults, it's really for anybody in between as well. If they're subject to wander, because of autism, could be dementia or anything.
I hear reports in the news about that once in a while. They're looking for an elderly person.
That's exactly right. What they'll be able to do now is we'll be able to purchase a locator band that these folks can wear when we'll have trackers. And so if somebody were to call and say, hey, I'm missing my loved one, they have one of your Project Lifesaver bands. Greenville City Fire Department, Greenville City Police Department, we'll be able to go out and pinpoint this person within remarkable accuracy to a couple of feet so we can find them quicker.
Just a little GPS unit? Or
it's in essence, it works like a little GPS unit. That's exactly right.
Gotcha.
And the best thing about Project Lifesaver, which is why we enjoy their initiative, is they're nationwide. And so even if you're going out of town and you're part of the Greenville City's
Lifesaver program, right?
Yes, sir. Exactly right. You can call whatever town you're going to, and if they have one, you can say, hey, here's my band number. They can add you to their system. So even if you're on vacation and something happens, you can be tracked as well.
That sounds like a really good project.
Yes.
Again, I gather people can get information about that going
on our website. That program should be up and running in about a week or two. We're just waiting for some final details to be buttoned down. And yes, our website will have all the information and how to apply for it, who's going to qualify for it, and so forth. Because again, since we've received the grant from St. Francis, it's going to be a free service that we offer.
So one more time, the website, greenvillesc.gov.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And then click on the fire department link. Tristan Johnson, fire inspector for the Greenville City Fire Department, has been my guest today. Thank you very much for being here.
You're very welcome, Chris. Thanks for having us.
It's my pleasure. I'm Chris Evans, and this has been Focus on the Upstate.
You've been listening to Focus on the Upstate with Chris Evans. If you would like more information on today's topic, email Chris at cevans@intercom.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.